Grace to you from God our Father and our Lord Christ Jesus. Today, of course, is November 11, Veterans Day. And as is remarked upon your program, today we commemorate St. Martin of Tours, for he is the patron saint of the military chaplaincy. But if you would read about St. Martin of Tours from those who knew him and were immediately affected and influenced by him, that he had been a military officer would hardly have been noted. What was noted was the manner of the man in his thought and his life in the midst of a world that, to use the language of Peter, was in disillusion. Martin's biographer, Sulpicius Severus, compares him to the monks of the Nitrian desert. They, he says, have it relatively easy, for the only ones who see their asceticism is the blue sky and the invisible angels. But as for Martin, who lives amongst cantankerous bishops, and pagan warriors and lustful crowds, he maintains the life of God. I think that is the whole point, in a way, of our reading. The Bible never quite allows us to spiritualize things. It never quite allows us to cast things into a distant future or even a far away past, but it always has a way of placing us into reality. It speaks of the last days. And precisely what it does not mean by the last days are last days, chronologically speaking. God is kind of uncaring about time in a way. Days and years and millennia seem to him the same. The question is the present day. And the question is whether in the present day there exists hope in the world which seems to be filled with nothing but scoffing. And perhaps we have felt the tug of this scoffing. I spend, as I'm quite sure all of you do, way too much time on Facebook. But I've noted a trend or a habit. Somebody will post something about how terrible it is in this or that part of the world, and how terrible it is that this or that sin seems to be, well, not only accepted but promoted. Things are advancing into the utter darkness, and somebody then will post, "How terrible, come Lord Jesus." It's a sentiment that is not wrong, but I wonder if it's the only way to put it, because I think what they mean is, would you please bring all of this to an end? Let's get over it. Okay? And at that point, our text gives us a different perspective. Yes, pray, come Lord Jesus. And of course he will. He will by that word of which Peter speaks, that word which once brought forth the world from that which exists not. He comes by that word that brought the world again out of its watery disillusion at the time of Noah. And it is of all things by a word that the world still continues. for the point of God's coming, when everything is said and done, it's not to say to hell with the sinner, but I come to you, sir, so that you go into the world. I come in order that I might find repentance. And indeed, God comes in order to save the sinner. That's the point. And in a way, we are not allowed to think or see beyond our own task. Yes, hope. But what is the form of hope? Is it this inner longing that things not be as they are? Yes, it is. Is that inner longing that things be not as they are inactive? No, it is not. Hope active in faith. Hope active in love. Hope has form. And our text thinks of this form and speaks of this form. We look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. How do you look forward if it is not by taking up the task of Jesus? What this text says is that if you hope for righteousness, then preach righteousness. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which brings forth repentance and a new life of faith and love. And remain steadfast in the swirl of the world's disillusion. Stand tall in the midst of the fray, and in that way, the purpose of God finds an image in the darkness. Take note of verse 11. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, that's what it actually says. We live in a context of disillusion. Since all these things are in the process of being dissolved, what sort of persons are you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? There is, in many ways, the question that should ring in our ears as we still remember All Saints' Days. St. Martin of Tours was not remembered because he had been a military officer. He was not even remembered because he became a bishop of Tours. He couldn't be remembered for that reason. There were too many cantankerous bishops who seemed themselves to be the objects of the very world's disillusion, hustling for this and hustling for that. But what Martin was remembered for, and I suspect not only by his biographer, Sulpicius Severus, but I suspect by God at the Last Judgment as well, was this: that in the midst of the darkness, he was light. And in the midst of disillusion, when everything seemed to be simply shifting away into nothingness, he stood steadfast, a pillar on the waves of the ocean. We live in the last days. In fact, from the time of sin, there has always been only the last days in which the world moves of its own toward its own demise. That's why God has to come into the world, that he's not of the world, not from below, but from above, in order that in the world there may be something transcendent, something of permanence and value. And that's crosstalk, because it's a struggle. The repentance is not only for those sinners, but for us too, that we might again get up from our knees and live the life of righteousness. May God grant it. Amen.